So look at 1 Kings chapter 3 with me. You can have it up on the screen as well. You can follow there. We're going to read verses 16 through 28. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else in the house, only the two of us were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had given birth to. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours.' The first one said, 'No, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine.'" So he's got this two women fighting, right, in his presence. Thus they spoke before the king. Verse 23, when the king said, the one says, "This is my son that's alive and your son is dead." And the other one says, "No, but your son is dead and my son's alive." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." And then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "Oh my Lord, give her the child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." And the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother." And here's the point, generally speaking, of this passage. Verse 28, and all of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So how does this turn out to be a Mother's Day message? Well, moms, I want to encourage you. The first thing I think the text shows us in some ways is that there's good news for moms because there's no perfect moms. Okay, again, I'm not going to say anything this morning that you're going to go away with and, oh, that's a new idea, but I want to encourage you. Moms, there's no perfect moms. Do you notice who the people in the story are? Two prostitutes. It doesn't say that these were Solomon's wives. It doesn't say that these were Solomon's concubines. It says that these were two women who lived in under his authority and his rule, who got in some type of argument, and they brought their case before the king. Isn't it amazing if Solomon is a type of Christ, a king, that that really is every one of us as well? All of us in some way, because of our sin, we're inadequate, we're not perfect, and yet here we are bringing our pleads, our case before the king. And as you think about Scripture, so often in Jesus' ministry, he also dealt with prostitutes. He dealt with lowly women. He wasn't going around and dealing with like the religious people's wives. It was the lowly people, the people that had made a mess of their lives, the people that had all kinds of issues. Jesus was right up there in the middle trying to bring hope and reconciliation and restoration. And if you think about the big picture in Scripture, there's lots of women who blew it. Sarah, right? Abraham and Sarah, you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm really old. I can't have children. You take my maidservant, Hagar. Okay. I take your maidservant. She gets pregnant. She has a child. And now that the Lord opens your womb, right, Sarah's what? She's mad. She's bitter. She's jealous. Get this woman out of here and get this child gone. That's bad English, but get it gone, right? Take them away, in a sense. Her or me, and it's not going to be her, all right? I mean, you are choosing me. What about Rebecca? She was a pretty good mom. But remember Esau and Jacob and the father's dying and it's time for the blessing? What did the glorious mother Rebecca teach her child? Let's lie, deceive, cheat your father out of his blessing. Right? And God still moved and worked in an amazing way in this woman's life and in this child's life, and in many ways it was fulfilling God's purpose. Think about this. Rahab, she was a prostitute, and God used her in amazing ways. Gomer was a prostitute, bringing about God's purpose for Israel. What about Bathsheba? Oh, yes, she's Solomon's mom. She has this glorious son who has all this wisdom. But if we just go back a couple of pages, she also has an affair with the king, and it ultimately leads to her husband's death. No, there's not any women that are perfect, or men, but we're looking at mothers today. So there's no perfect moms, and that should be a real relief. Some of you know, some of you are moms of young women who have children, and there is tremendous pressure today, and maybe in your days as well, but today about being a perfect mom. I mean, on Facebook, that's all these people are posting things, and what moms today, what maybe some of you do, you compare yourself. I'm not as good as somebody else because I haven't been as proactive in trying to get my child into the better school, or I haven't been as good as another mom in making meals. I mean, look at all these glorious things that Pinterest tells me I can make. I don't have any time for that. I'm a bad mom, right? There's this constant comparing that's going on. Oh, there's all these self-help books about how to be a good mom. If you're a mom, you probably don't have time to read a lot of books, right? But then there's also this chapter in Proverbs called Proverbs 31. And it's like it's held over women's head. It's a glorious chapter. It's God's word. But Donna, y'all did a Bible study. How many women in this room are ready to sign up and say, I am the Proverbs 31 woman? It's a high standard, isn't it? And there's always this, I'm not living up to it, I'm not living up to it. Okay, there's no woman in this room that's a perfect mom. All of you have done things, and quit comparing yourselves to other moms, and instead just relax in what God is doing. And the same for grandmas. Look, let me tell you this, you're going to blow it. You're going to blow it in your words. Maybe you've already blown it with your words. You're going to speak harshly to your children. You're going to say something that after you said it, you're going to regret, right? And you're going to yell at them maybe. It just comes out, but they're driving you crazy, and you know, and it just comes out. Okay? Maybe you're going to fail them. You're going to do something when it comes to your actions, right? I don't know if this ever happened at your house, but sometimes with four boys at our house, I said we very, very nicely. We don't wait to get the information. Everybody's in trouble, right? Any of you ever done that? Everybody's getting a spank. Everybody's going to the corner. Everybody's going to timeout, right? Because you're just, oh, stop. And you, in hindsight, you reflect back and you're like, nah, I probably didn't handle that the best way. Okay, there's no perfect moms. Some of you are going to fail in your spiritual life. You're not always going to pray. You're not always going to do the right thing. It's not the end of the world. You can stop trying to be perfect. The story has two prostitutes, and the king is listening to them, and he's going to take their case, and he's going to help them. And so it is with some of you moms. Even the best moms, from time to time, have serious issues with their children. Even the best grandmas, from time to time, are going to have serious issues with their grandkids. Some of you in this room, many of you in this room, are old enough that you have grown children. Your children have children. And there's maybe a strife. Maybe there's a battle. Maybe there's something that's not right in that relationship. And maybe it's something you've done. Maybe it's something they have done. But if you're a believer in Christ, I want to challenge you today on this Mother's Day to call your daughter, to call your son, even if they're the one who's done the wrong thing, and say, you know what? I know I'm not the perfect mom, and I'm okay with that. I probably didn't do everything right raising you, but I want you to know I love you, and I care for you, and maybe even ask just forgiveness. That's really hard, but when you look at Scripture, I don't know, you're like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. But Scripture says if there's an issue that we should go to try to get it right, even if they're the one who's done it. So isn't it better to hear no, I'm not going to receive that, than to never know and always have regret? This is kind of, it's more fathers in the story, but it works for mothers. Remember that movie, Home Alone? right? Remember the neighbor next door to the little boy? There's some kind of strife between him and his boy, and at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, it's been out for like 20 years, but spoiler alert, right? You see the son, because the father finally calls the son, and there's reconciliation that happens, and oh, it's a glorious Christmas, and they're hugging each other, right? Mom, some of you, you're afraid to call, you're afraid to talk to your children because you're afraid they may say no, and really the great regret would be not knowing at all. Look, there's no perfect moms in here, and if you're trying to be a perfect mom, a perfect grandma, I just want you to know you're going to fail, and that's okay. Solomon dealt with prostitutes, and not that you're prostitutes, but you get the point. Every mom's going to fail, because there's really only one perfect person, and that's Christ. Which leads us to a second idea from the text, and that's this. There's some good news for moms in that God hears the prayers and the petitions of moms. Isn't that good news? Moms, grandmas, in this story, this prostitute woman, this woman that really has no, I mean, when I say no value, I mean, she was just a prostitute and she comes before the king? I mean, get your mind around that. Esther couldn't go talk to her husband. And this woman is coming and talking to the king. And she pours out her heart because it's in a day and a time when they don't have DNA tests and they don't have all the TV shows that help you find out who your baby's daddy is, right? I mean, you're stuck and she's telling this story to the only person that she can go to. King, let me tell you the plight of my life. Both of us had these children and I woke up one morning and the baby next to me was dead and I looked at him and I realized that that woman who also had a baby, she had taken my baby. I'm just going to tell you what, those are the two greatest fears I have as a dad. Remember when you had your children, Mom, even the grandkids, and you lay them down in the crib or you lay them down in the bed, especially those first couple of weeks, how well did you sleep? Not because they were awake, but because you're constantly looking over, are they breathing? Any of you ever fear that? I did all the time, especially because Allison would wrap them like an, I mean, this isn't trying to be, I don't know what it's called, but like in one of those Indian things, moccasin kind of things, so tight, papaya, yeah. I was always afraid they were being crushed like a boa constrictor. So I'm looking over there to see if, I mean, literally, I would wake up in the middle of the night and put my hand over them to see if I could feel their breath, right? Any of you feel that way? The other thing I fear, and I always feel this now, is that somebody's going to take them and they're going to get lost. That's what this woman experienced, both of those things. She wakes up and this child is dead. Have I killed my child? And then also, once I realize it's not my child, where is my child? I mean, allow that to kind of, that's what's going on in this mother. If that were you, I mean, where do you turn? This woman is experiencing great pain and anguish, and she's petitioning the king, the only one that really has any authority and control over this situation. And in our situation, the king is Christ, isn't it? Think about others in the Bible who also pleaded and poured out their heart. I mean, there's so many, but Hannah's an easy example. She didn't have children, and she prays in that first chapter of 1 Samuel. I mean, and you see her anguish about her womb being closed, and you see this where Eli thinks she's drunk because she's praying in such a powerful way. Think about in the New Testament, the Canaanite woman whose daughter is sick, and she comes and she throws herself down in front of Jesus and just pleads and prays and asks him to move and to work. Moms, I want you to know this. You're not in this motherhood alone. You have a king who hears your pleas and your prayers. And for some of you, you're praying about your kids. You're worried about them. They're lost. I mean, they may tell you they're saved, and they may tell you, oh, yeah, but in your heart of hearts, you know their life's not living for the Lord, and they've made a lot of bad decisions, and they're not in church, and your heart breaks. I want you to know that the Lord hears your prayer. Just as he heard the prayer of Hannah for a physical birth for her child, he hears the prayers that you offer up on his to him on behalf of your children for spiritual birth. He does. Maybe it's situations where they're making bad decisions. That's really hard when you're older, isn't it? And the kids are older. Because they, you know, I'm 18 and I'm 24, I'm 35. Who are you to tell me what to do? But you see your children, they're making bad choices and decisions. Where else can you go? What else do you do, moms? Well, you can pray. And that's not insignificant. You pray and trust that the Lord is going to move and work. Maybe you just need decisions on how to handle them. Maybe you need decisions, again, on how to seek reconciliation. I want you to know this. The Lord hears your prayers. And when you're praying, when you as a mother are praying for your children, for their safety, for their salvation, for their lives to be healed, our great God, our glorious King, hears your prayers. And my prayer for you, even today, is that you would see those prayers answered before you leave this life. It may not happen this week, this month, this year. But if the Lord told you, I'm going to answer your prayer before you die, like you're going to see the Messiah before you die in Luke, is that worth it? Would you continue to pray? Would you continue to seek? He hears your prayers. Good news, Mom. The third thing the text shows us is this, the good news for moms, is that your sacrifices are not useless. And the same thing's for you, Grandma, for you praying for your grandkids, for your children. Let me just stop there. I know some of you are praying that your children would get in church because their kids, your grandkids, aren't in church. Don't stop praying. The Lord is able to move and to work. Third, good news for moms, and that's this. Your sacrifices are not useless. Any of you feel like you've made sacrifices when having children? Right? Think about our story. What happens here? So Solomon, he hears these two women bickering. And because God has enabled him with great wisdom, he says, well, bring me a sword and we're going to divide this child. And notice what the text said. Verse 26. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, give my child to that other woman. Do you not think that's a sacrifice? She is saying, I would rather my child live and live with this woman than for my child to die. What a huge sacrifice. And you see on the other side, the woman's like, well, no, I don't care. Kill him. Because she really didn't care. It wasn't her child. And obviously that's how Solomon is able to figure out who's the real mother. But this woman is willing to sacrifice so much so that her child can have life. And all of you mothers in this room, have sacrificed in some way or another, over and over again. Think about others in the Bible who sacrificed. Moses' mom. I'm not going to let these handmaids, these women, kill my son when he's born. I'm not going to do what Pharaoh says. I'm going to wait until I absolutely have to. But when it's time, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to give him over in this little ark. And I'm going to trust that God will do what is right. I'm willing to sacrifice for him. Hannah, in that story, when she prays for her child, do you notice it also seems like that child ends up working in the temple? So she gets what she wants, but then she turns around and gives it back, this gift to the Lord, makes this great sacrifice. For you as moms, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. Remember, I mean, it started at the very beginning when you got pregnant. I mean, you sacrificed your body, and I don't say that lightly. Morning sickness, vomiting, all the things that you went through in order to have that baby. There's this growing movement among women today that I don't want to have a baby because it's going to damage my body. Honestly. Because we're so vain as a society that we care about how we look, that we value ourselves and our looks more than we do life and children and family. But not just that, but you sacrificed sleep. And these things maybe for some of you were so long ago, but think back. You remember, not only do moms have special goggles, the way they see things, but they got like special ears. They've got like Batman radar ears, right? I mean, I don't know how many times, even now, one of my kids is doing something upstairs. Allison's up. I'm out. She's upstairs dealing with it, right? Remember when your babies were crying so often, moms, you did what? You sacrificed sleep. You got up. If you breastfed in the middle of the night, what were we doing? You know what I mean? Women, you made those simple sacrifices early on, but as they grew older, maybe you sacrificed other things like time, money, maybe careers. Maybe some of you said, you know what, I'm going to hold off working for a while because I want to invest in my child, or I want to take care of my child, or there's other things that are going on. Maybe your child has special needs, or there are things that's going on, right? And maybe as grandmother, some of you are sacrificing because your children can't watch their children, or because there's some kind of, you know, some kind of circumstance, and you're sacrificing things that you would like to be doing. Maybe some of you are saying, I've already raised children. But you're making the sacrifice because you love them, and you're doing it again, and you're investing in them. Maybe some of you have sacrificed friends, right? When you have children, when you have that change of life, maybe some of your people don't want to hang out with you anymore because they don't want to be around crying, screamy babies and dirty diapers, right? I mean, you lose friends. I mean, you know how many people have looked at us and said, were you trying for a girl? The implication is 4 kids is too many. Amen, some days. Right? But Allison has gotten to the point, and moms, you know this, you've gotten to the point where you love your children so much, you're willing to sacrifice even the opinions of others. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they think you should be raising your children. It doesn't matter, you know, what they're saying or how many kids you should have or whether you're crazy that you take your kid to this camp or you do these things with your children, right? Because it's worth it. Yeah, you may not have the nicest house in Palm Beach County, and yeah, you may not have the nicest cars, but you've made sacrifices because you love them. And the good news of that is this. I think that these sacrifices that we're making ultimately will bring about God's blessing, which is the last point. The good news is that your faithfulness brings blessings. These sacrifices, this trusting in God, that I'm going to do the right thing for my children, brings about His blessings. In our story, what happens? The woman's willing to make the sacrifice. I'll give my child to this woman so that my child will live. And ultimately, Solomon discerns, and he says, no, that is your child. Here's the reward of your obedience, of your life, of your sacrifice, of the willingness to let your child live. In many of your lives, you've sacrificed, and you've loved them, and you've made decisions for your children. Because in your mind, you know this, children are a gift from the Lord. Grandchildren are a gift from the Lord. But as a gift, we have responsibilities to do what? Invest in them, mentor them, train them up in the way they should go. The Bible says, you know, don't give up in doing what is right, because in due season you'll reap a harvest of righteousness. And in some of you, some of these sacrifices you've made, some of the decisions you've made, they haven't paid off yet. You've not seen the total fruit of what God desires to do yet. But have faith. Keep trusting. Keep waiting. Keep watching. Believing. If you honor the Lord and you honor His word and you're striving to do what you feel like He's calling you to do, you will in due season reap a harvest of blessing. Moms, let me just say this. You may be the best mom in this room, and your kids still may blow it. You may be the absolute best skilled, best loving, best spiritual, most spiritual mom, but you know what? Kids have a tendency to make their own decisions, don't they? You know what you have to do? In those moments, you just have to rest in God's promises and His words. And for some of you that this is a situation with your older kids, all you can do is just give them over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting and I'm waiting and I'm watching. And I'm standing on your word and I'm believing that you say that you're going to work and move and you're going to answer the prayers of your people. Good news, moms, there's no perfect moms. But God hears your pleads and your prayers, and all those sacrifices you're making, they will yield a harvest of righteousness. Let me close with this statement. Men in this room, pray for your wives. Grandfathers, pray for those grandmothers. Support them, encourage them, back them. Make sure the kids know how much you love them, either as their grandmother or as their mother. Kids, honor your parents. And in this room, many of you, regardless of your age, you're still children. You have a mother or a father, right? I mean, you're children. We're called to honor our father and mother, but especially those who are younger. Submit to your parents. Students, submit to your parents. I know you don't always think that they know what is right, but give them grace. Love them, support them, recognizing, you know what, they're doing the very best they can, and one day, the Lord willing, you're going to be in the same situation, and you're going to wish that you had sons or daughters that submitted and helped you. The Bible says it brings a parent great joy when their children honor them, submit to them. Make it your goal in life, students, to cause your mom to have great joy, not just over the grades you make or over the skills that you have, but over the person that you are. And moms, today when you leave, rest in God's mercy and in His grace and in the promise that He hears you. One last thought. I shared this in the first service. It doesn't matter where you're at in this room. If you have a mother who is alive, pick up the phone, call her today, and say these simple words: I love you. You may be 60 and your mama might be 80. Call her, tell her you love her. I know in this room there are some of you that would do almost anything to have one more chance to tell your mom you love her. And she's not here. And the reality is, we never know if this will be the last Mother's Day we'll have with our moms, do we? So let me challenge you. Sons, call your mothers, tell them you love them. Daughters, regardless of any friction you have, love on them. Encourage them. Let them know you are so thankful that God has given your mom to you in your life. Well, Father, I pray today as we look at this story of these women that we'll be reminded of your goodness towards moms. Lord, you don't equip them to be moms and then leave them on their own, but Lord, you're right there walking beside them. You're giving them wisdom and skill sets to handle situations. And so, Lord, I pray that in this room, moms and grandmothers who feel discouraged, moms and grandmothers who feel like they don't know what to do, Lord, that you would remind them that you're the only one who's perfect and that they've not blown it. And Lord, that you would encourage them, that you would stir up their affections to continue to pray for their children, grown children, grandchildren, whatever kind of children they have. Lord, would you this day answer the prayers of the mothers in this room, whatever they are, for their joy, would you answer in powerful ways through your glory? And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, maybe some of you just want